Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my friend Harrison Peters. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. For 39 years, Ravi Zacharias has spoken all over the world and in numerous universities, notably Harvard, Princeton, and Oxford universities. He's addressed writers of the Peace Accord in South Africa, the President's Cabinet, and the Parliament in Peru, and military officers at the Lenin Military Academy, and the Center for Geopolitical Strategy in Moscow. At the invitation of the President of Nigeria, he addressed delegates at the first annual breakfast for African leaders held in Mozambique. He's addressed the Florida legislature and the governor's prayer breakfast in Texas, twice spoken at the annual prayer breakfast at the United Nations in New York, and he's the 2008 honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer and gave addresses at the White House, the Pentagon, and the Cannon House. Dr. Zacharias has been a visiting scholar at Cambridge University, where he studied moralist philosophers and literature of the Romantic era. He's been honored with the conferring of 3 doctoral degrees, including the Doctor of Laws. He's presently the Senior Research Fellow at Wycliffe Hall, Oxford University in Oxford, England. He's authored a number of books, over 20 in all, which have won the Gold Medallion. He is recognized as a distinguished lecturer with the Staley Foundation, and he's appeared on CNN, Fox, and other international broadcasts. Dr. Zacharias is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, which is headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, with additional offices worldwide. Well, with that introduction, it's only fitting to say that there are certain people who have been extremely graced and gifted by the Lord in the realm of communication. And he is one of those stellar ones who, as it were kissed by the Lord with certain gifts and intellect. But the intellect taken in a form where it's accessible in such a way people can understand and better relate. We have today an announcement, but also we're going to be playing from YouTube some clips. And my friend Harrison and I, we're going to reflect a little bit on some of the things that we hear. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we exist because we firmly believe that the Lord loves you and His heart is for you. And that through faith in Jesus Christ, you can experience the forgiveness of your sins and enter into a personal relationship with God because of what Christ did for you on the cross over 2,000 years ago. That through faith in the finished work of Christ, your life can be renewed. You can be born again, a new start, a new beginning. And you can experience the fullness of what God has for you. No matter where you've been or what you've gone through, it's never too late. In fact, today might be that very special day for you, even as we discuss some of these things. And with a person like Ravi, like Dr. Ravi Zacharias, we delve, and he delves, into some really tough issues that are hard to discuss sometimes, but he goes there. You know, somebody might say, don't go there, don't go there. Well, he goes there, and I'm glad he does. Harrison Peters and I will be back with a few reflections. But here, Dr. Zacharias is addressing a huge auditorium of students at the University of Illinois. This is February of 2008, and he is answering the question, why the Bible? What makes the Bible so special among many religious books that exist today? What makes the Bible so special? Why the Bible? Listen, and I'll be back with Harrison to reflect with you.
Hey, Robbie, how you doing?
Hey, good to see you.
I just wanted to ask you, could you explain in a manner maybe more pragmatic than we're used to why a person should believe in the Word of God as the Bible and why they should basically believe every word it says as opposed to any other holy book and why they should give their entire life to Christ? I mean, I know it's a really rough question, but...
That's like saying, define God and give three examples.
Isn't that just the Trinity?
It's a legitimate question. I'm sorry for responding humorously there. Of course, it takes a whole lot of time. In my book, Can Man Live Without God, which was a series of lectures delivered at Harvard, the second part of it deals with that very thing. So let me start off as best as I can. First, I believe that truth as a category does exist. Number two, it is possible in a majority of claims of philosophical and historical statements to verify the truthfulness of those affirmations. Third, I believe there are existential realities from which I cannot run, which drive me to find the answers to the existential struggles that I live with, not just the philosophical ones. The philosophical ones are real, and I have to deal with them, but so are the existential ones. And by the way, existentialism came as a response to the unpaid bills of philosophy. Philosophy had become so cerebral that the passions had been ignored, and existentialism came into being and sort of tossed out the rationalistic way of interpreting things and went purely with the gut-level feeling, a la Sartre and Camus and so on. But I think what we are trying to do is, if we are trying to find the bridge between the head and the heart, there are numerous ways of doing this. And the way you start off with by saying, if you take the Bible as the question, then why the Bible and why not any other system of thought? You start off with the scriptures and ask yourself the question. Here there are 66 books by nearly 40 different authors over 1,500 years that are books on history, that are books on philosophical thinking, that are books on theological thinking and systematic thinking. Now, if the Bible made several assertions, one after another, that you found out to be false, either historically or philosophically or in the existential realm, you go further and further, and if you see that kind of systemic contradiction and failure, then you have reason to believe that I cannot really trust this document. It is not in keeping with the way I'm seeing history and reality. But when you look at the scriptures, and by the way, the Bible is a very distinctive piece of literature to any other religious piece of scripture. Any Muslim will tell you that his book, the Quran, is word for word perfect. It is a perfect revelation of Allah in the eye of the Muslim. They will affirm that again and again. That's why no translation of the Quran will ever do justice in their estimation of the Quran. It is the perfect expression of Allah himself as dictated to Muhammad, who recited it. Now, the Bible, as we know it, does not affirm that verbal perfection. I actually have a great deal of difficulty with verbal perfection. Are we really saying that no one word would have been better than the other word in the volume of material? But when you take the scriptures disclosed over centuries and over 1,500 years, as I said, 40 different writers, 66 books, and you see the prophetic schema all the way down to the person of Christ. Let me give you an example of this. The book of Daniel is written in the late 500s before Christ. And yet, when you study the book of Daniel, you begin to see the specifics of a fantastic prophecy. He talks about a massive empire that will come into being. and how that empire will be divided into four, and that empire will be led by what they call a strident, strong he-goat from the west, who will be marching several nations underfoot, but shall be suddenly cut off, and his empire will be divided into four. Those four then emerge into two, and those two blend into one. When you take the book of Daniel, written late 500s, and put it pro forma onto Alexander the Great in the 300s before Christ, you see the stridency of Alexander suddenly cut off in his 20s. Four kingdoms emerge given to his four generals. Those four come into the two, the Ptolemaic and the Seleucid empires, that emerge then into the Roman Empire. Centuries before, to be so specific in prophecy, you go to the prophecy of Zechariah, who describes the crucifixion of Christ. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced and weep as a mother weeps for her only son. You go to the prophecy of Isaiah and see how the Christ is going to suffer. Immediately you see the supernatural. Immediately you see the supernatural. So when you take the miraculous element, you take the historic element, you look into the scriptures and you see there is an authenticity, and it all points to one perfect person, the person of Christ. Bruce Metzger, who is a scholar from Princeton, made the comment. He said, after you take the 20,000 lines of the New Testament, it is safe for any scholar to say there's at least a 99.6% accuracy. No ancient document, none, has the kind of documentary support that the Bible has. Over 5,000 documents, or even Time magazine in 88, I think, Richard Osling made the comment. One thing we cannot deny the Christians, he said, is the documentation that is available across the centuries. Nothing in ancient literature matches it. Neither Homer, nor Aeschylus, nor any one of the, nor the Gallic Wars of Caesar, whatever. So when you've got this kind of documentation, this kind of accuracy, that kind of a person in the person of Christ, I think you've got pretty compelling evidence to see why it is that we need to take Christ very seriously.
Thank you.
Oh. That's Ravi Zacharias. He's speaking to an auditorium packed with students at the University of Illinois. This is February of 08. And we pulled that from YouTube, the Ravi Zacharias search. But to think about the way that he was able to describe and answer the question, you know, Harrison.
Impressive.
Well, the thing about it is Ravi Zacharias is coming to Hawaii.
Yes.
And Harrison, you have a significant part in being a part of a committee. Why don't you share your committee and some of the specifics?
Yes. I'm the steering committee chairperson that's been honored to get a response from Ravi Zacharias to come and speak at the University of Hawaii Campus Center Ballroom, April the 2nd at 7 p.m. As you can hear, Ravi is just a phenomenal speaker, and he is highly, highly sought after. And for us to get him is just a sheer miracle that he was willing to come. And we've had to get, we've been blessed to get the support and cooperation of all the Christian ministries on campus. This is not just one group of Christians. It's all of us in unity, and I really...
That really says a lot.
Yes.
That really says
yes.
a lot. It's called An Evening with Ravi, April 2nd, that's a Monday night, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the UH Campus Center Ballroom. It's sponsored by the Oahu Baptist Network in partnership with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and other churches and other campus organizations there at UH. Again, April 2nd. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll listen to another one of Ravi Zacharias's speaking, sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, have you ever wondered, how can a good God allow evil in our world today? How can a good God allow evil. When we come back from our break, we'll hear more from Ravi Zacharias. I'm here with my friend Harrison Peters. He's on the steering committee to make all this happen. It's a blessing from the Lord that you have an opportunity to go hear him. But more than that, you have an opportunity to go invite somebody that you're reaching out to, somebody that you've been praying for, somebody that the Lord has or will put on your heart to go listen. And maybe the Lord will use Ravi, even from an evangelistic point, to lead them to Christ. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Ever need a little help? I've needed a little, not just a little. I've needed a lot of help when it comes to reaching a family member or a friend. You know, some of them are more of an intellectual realm. They like to really reason things out. They're analytical in their mindset. Some of them have really pursued various forms of education. They're very well-read, very articulate. And sometimes it's hard, you know, to connect with them, hard to reach them, or hard to answer some of the questions that that they'll ask, or at least at that point, at that moment when they ask it. It's hard to just, you know, be able to give them an answer right away. But that's why the gifting of a person like Dr. Ravi Zacharias is so important and so key and instrumental in the whole evangelistic spectrum in reaching family and friends for Christ, because God can use him to say certain things about certain topics or issues that would connect and make sense, reasonable sense to people who need to hear it in that way. And he's coming to Hawaii. It's called An Evening with Ravi. He is an apologist. And by the way, Harrison, being an apologist is not the art of saying sorry, right? Yeah. It's a defense, defense of the faith. But the way that he is able to articulate, reason it. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm here with my friend Harrison Peters, who sits on the steering committee. He's chairing the steering committee of An Evening with Ravi. They've put it together. It's going to happen on April 2nd, Monday, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the UH Campus Center Ballroom. Yeah. A number of organizations are partnering together to put this event, to make it available. We're going to be listening to another clip of something that Ravi, another talk that Ravi has gotten that we've pulled from YouTube. And Harrison and I will just talk and reflect a little bit about it. It's a tough question. It's a question because the world seems to be overflowing with problems. And there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on. Things that people do, decisions people make, that's not singular in the way it affects us. It affects multitudes. One decision by a person can affect a whole family. It can affect a whole community. It can affect a whole state. It can affect a whole nation. It can affect the world. And that thing is evil. And you know, God is a good God. But why does God allow? How can a good God allow evil?
Yes.
You know, have you ever asked that question, Harrison?
Oh, yeah. Many a time.
Well, Ravi Zacharias answers that question. It's a clip called "How Can a Good God Allow Evil?" from 100huntley.com. It's posted from them. And here, go ahead and listen, and we'll be back with some thoughts.
Got to hear this.
You know, it's, as I said, a very difficult question to answer, not just the fact of evil, but the size of it, the volume of it, you know. And people actually think that we don't think of these things as Christian apologists. The first thing I would say is to remember what I said earlier, that the question does not actually dislodge God. If anything, it should prove that God actually exists. Otherwise, value and the question disintegrates. You don't ask the question unless you believe in an absolute moral law. And you don't believe in an absolute moral law unless there's an absolute moral law giver. So the question is with God in the paradigm, not outside the paradigm. So we take that. The second thing I would say is the ultimate ethic in life is love. That is the supreme ethic. There is no ethic more supreme than love. But necessary to love is the component of the will. You cannot have love without the freedom to not love. Otherwise, you have conformity, compliance. You really don't have love. So if love is a supreme ethic and the freedom of will is indispensable to love and the question must keep God in the paradigm, then what I would say is the greatest gift of God is the gift of the freedom of our will in order that we can love. But with the greatest gift comes the greatest possible calamity. When you violate that love, the entailments actually follow. And so both good is real and evil is real. And the human heart must be able to recognize this and choose that which is good. Otherwise, you live in a world of non-concrete expressions where you can choose bad with no consequences. Nobody would believe bad is bad if there were no consequences to it. So in this supreme effort of God to bring you and me to himself, he gives us the example of love. He has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. One other footnote. If I were to take a life, something tragic has happened because I cannot restore that life. But if God allows that to happen, he can still restore that life, and the component of eternity does spell the possibility of an explanation. Without eternity, the problem of evil remains totally unsolved. In fact, the question remains indefensible. So God is able to restore life. Eternity is able to bring ultimate justice, and we leave those two components in his hands. You know, this is actually an amazing question when you unpack it a bit. You know what the question I'm asked most on the campus? They will agree that there is a moral framework somehow we cannot run from. They will grant you that. Even an atheist will say, why can't I be good? I said, I never said you can't be good. I said, but you're begging the question, what is good? And I said, there's a second question you have not even asked, which is implicit in your question, that every time we raise the problem of evil, It is either raised by a person or about persons. It is either raised by a person or about persons. How could God allow the Holocaust? How could this happen? How could God allow a little baby to die in the mother's arms? It's always raised by a person, about a person, which means personhood is indispensable to the question. Therefore, the assumption is that the intrinsic value is not in the question, but in the personhood. How can a person be of intrinsic value if time plus matter plus chance has been the cause of that person? It's nothing more than chemistry in motion. The only way the person can be of value is if the person is the creation of somebody with infinite and intrinsic worth, which means it's God himself that needs to be able to justify our question. So when we talk about evil and all the relativism and all of that, we need to realize that we are the point of God's creation. This is not to build pride. This is to build worth. This is to build value. So as Christians and as believers, when atheists raise the questions and present challenges to us, we need to realize they're actually arguing against themselves. They're assuming their questions are important, their questions are worth it, that they are worth it, and the one they're raising to is worth it, none of which actually holds if we are the product of primordial slime. So the atheist raising the questions ultimately actually argues more for the existence than the non-existence of God.
This was a clip taken from YouTube from 100huntley.com. How can a good God allow evil? As you listen, you know, you may catch some parts. Some of you might just have really gravitated to the way that he communicates. It's very, very, much higher level in his expression, in his thinking. But certainly, there's certainly a place for it, especially on a college campus among professors.
Yes. And we're hoping to invite all the Department of Religion to come, the Philosophy Department to come. We have a contact through the Association of Christian Professors. Not to invite the Christian professors per se, but for the Christian professors to invite non-Christian professors to come. So really, just in awe of the cooperation, the enthusiasm of other groups to mobilize, to utilize this forum for them. The Campus Center Ballroom has a capacity of 550 seats, so it's not small. That's a good-sized room, but we want to fill that. Our intention is with as many non-Christians as possible.
Sure, sure. And they're going to find out by your invitation, by you getting the word out to let someone know. I mean, I would imagine it would be a blessing to have, on one hand, an overflow crowd because of, there's a hunger. There's a hunger for God. There's a hunger that people have. However they are able to say it, there's a yearning to find out about God, how to have a relationship with God, how to know God. And I think this is a great opportunity. But Harrison, you yourself, when you were at UH, right? There was a speaker that came at that time that really influenced you.
Exactly.
Tell us about that.
Soon after I became a Christian, Josh McDowell, one of the great apologists of our generation, came to our campus and shared his evidences that demand a verdict had just recently been published, and just blew us away with his expertise of scripture and the validity of Christ's resurrection and death and all of his life. And I just thought, wow, this is so helpful to us as Christians to have this kind of person, have this kind of information available to us, because we live in a world where people are always, you know, looking like, well, there's lots of other answers and there's lots of other ways and there's, you know, maybe God does give this or maybe he doesn't. So there's so much out there that points away from our God and away from the validity of Scripture. And so much of Christianity, unfortunately, is not focused on how to defend the Bible and to share it with confidence. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to happen on April 2nd. It's a Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at the UH Campus Center Ballroom. It's called An Evening with Ravi. It's sponsored by the Oahu Baptist Network, along with partnership with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade for Christ, other organizations on campus and churches. To find out more, go to www.obn.com. OBN.com. That's the Oahu Baptist Network. OBN.com. Or you can go ahead and call Harrison, the steering committee chair, and you can go ahead and give your number.
Yes, my number is 341-1527.
341-1527. 808-341-1527. When we come back from our break, we'll hear, you know, in a pluralistic society, there are very many different beliefs.
I don't know of anything else.
There are many different belief systems. And in this society, you know, it is a belief system, is the belief system of atheism. Hmm. And although they might say they don't believe in, belief system, it could be arguably a religion of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they practice certain things. Well, what about atheism? There are atheists that we all know that say there is no God. And they come and stem from different reasons. Some people feel abandoned by God. Some people, for various things that have happened to them, have chosen to not believe God or to say that God doesn't exist. Well, in the next clip, when we come back from our break, we'll listen to Ravi Zacharias talk about why he is not an atheist, which will reveal many things about the atheistic point of view. I think it'll be just helpful to us, for us, to hear him. Sometimes it's just good to stretch. Yeah. And I always stretch when I listen to him. And I feel like more encouraged and more equipped. Even a little bit. And if you can get equipped a little bit, it's all worth it. When we come back from our break, we'll hear more from Ravi Zacharias. I'm here with Harrison Peters. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and I'm Danny Yamashiro. If you're just tuning in right now and you want to get the rest of the show, you can absolutely do that at thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can also download the show, listen to it at another time at your convenience. It's always available, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Free downloads for you. And for you also to send to a friend. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
One of the premier Christian apologists today, contemporary apologists today, is Ravi Zacharias. And Dr. Ravi Zacharias is planning to come to Hawaii. An evening with Ravi is what it's called, on April 2nd, Monday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., UH Campus Center Ballroom, sponsored by the Wahoo Baptist Network, in partnership with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and Campus Crusade for Christ and other churches and other partner organizations. You know, Ravi Zacharias, he has his own website, obviously, rzim.org. rzim.org. You can find out much more about him and his ministry and the resources that they provide and things that you can get a hold of. The Lord gives us gifts in the body of Christ. And from an evangelistic standpoint, a gift given in him with an ability to relate with and speak with people of the academia. And the people who influence society on the highest levels of government and with law and lawmakers and people who relate in the way that Ravi is able to describe. Well, before our break, we were talking about atheism and atheists and how does that relate with Christianity and the message of Christ. This is the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and we're all about reaching people with the love of Christ, people of all different backgrounds. So I have my friend Harrison Peter with us. He's the chairman of the steering committee of this An Evening with Ravi event. But now let's delve in. And Ravi is making a statement here, and he'll express himself. But the statement is, why I am not an atheist. Listen.
There are many, many arenas in which theism and atheism can be addressed. It can be addressed in rigorous philosophical terms. And I can do that. I have done it. I have written on the subject. But I'll tell you what the problem with that is. It ends up pitting one person's philosophical mind against another person's philosophical mind, and it could end up making absolutely no difference in your life at the end of it. In fact, I have read through some of the most poignant philosophical debates and seen both scholars do extremely well. And at the end of it, it has changed nobody's mind. So how then am I going to come to you to make it relevant and meaningful so that we can interact on it? Let me give you my understanding of philosophy at three levels and tell you what level we will touch. Level number one in philosophy, I consider theoretical levels of philosophical thinking. They are categories of logic, of thought. They deal with formal fallacies, informal fallacies. They deal with the classical proofs of the existence of God and the classical arguments against the proofs of the existence of God and so on. So if you take Thomas Aquinas, you will look at the cosmological argument being defended. If you look at David Hume, you will see him attacking the cosmological argument. So you've got here the theoretical level of philosophy. Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle dealt at that level of thinking. And somebody has said all of Western philosophy is basically footnotes to Plato. So we can deal with it at a theoretical level. But level two is what I call drama, music, novel, and the existential struggle in your imagination. That is level two. It is most intriguing to me that the moral philosophers of the late 18th century were really the romantic poets and the writers. Andrew Fletcher once said, "Let me write the songs of a nation. I don't care who writes its laws." That's level two. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be sure in your thinking that when a teenager, be it 13, 14, 15, or for that matter, even when an 11 or a 12-year-old turns on a television set or listens to a country music song or a rock music song or whatever, you can be sure in your mind there is a philosophy being carried in the process and a view of life being espoused by the listener. There is philosophy at level two. Let's not run from it. Level three is when your son or your daughter or a teenager sits across a kitchen table one night and says, "You know, Dad, today when we were in school, we were discussing a moral issue relating to such and such a lifestyle. What do you think about it?" And if the father says, "You know, son, the Bible says from the Apostle Paul's writings in the book of Romans chapter 1 that such and such a lifestyle is wrong," the son is listening to his father and wanting to say, "You know, Dad, when you quote the Bible around this table, it's very effective. But when I quote it at the school, it is completely ineffective." You see what's happening? The father is prescribing a lifestyle at a prescriptive level of level three, when what the son is really saying is, "I'm not asking you, Dad, what Romans 1 says. I'm asking you why you believe Romans chapter 1. Because while Romans chapter 1 is plausible in our kitchen table, it is not plausible in the high school and university setting. The plausibility structure changes. When I used to teach courses on philosophy and so on, I said this: always remember to argue at level one, theory, illustrate at level two, and apply it at level three. If you don't go in that sequence, you end up with sheer prescriptivism. You prefer A, I may prefer B, and we end up sort of locking ideas on those differences, not knowing how to arbitrate on what is good and what is bad. Now, obviously, in two lectures, we can't do all three. So what I'm going to do, as was introduced, the social and personal implications, I'm going to come at it from level two. With that in mind and pattern with which we'll be following, let me give to you a fundamental response that I have entitled, "Why I Am Not an Atheist." And it is basically a point form response to Bertrand Russell's book, "Why I Am Not a Christian." Bertrand Russell wrote that many, of course, in his debate with the Jesuit priest, Father Copleston. I'm not going to deal with the debate. I'm going to just give to you my response on the four existential struggles of life for which Russell has no answer, and he in so much admitted it in some of his other essays. Now, here it is. The question then arises, may we define our terms? Atheism comes from literally the Greek Alpha, the negative, and theism, the word theos, for God, negative, God. There is no God. That's what the word atheism really means. It is not saying, "I do not think there is a God." It is not even saying, I do not believe there is a God. It is affirming the non-existence of God. It affirms a negative. Now, you know, we don't need to take too long into that, because anyone with an introductory course in philosophy recognizes that it is a logical contradiction. How can you affirm a negative in the absolute? It would be like me saying to you, there is no such thing as a white stone with black dots anywhere in all of the galaxies of this universe. The only way I can affirm that is if I have unlimited knowledge of this universe. So to affirm an absolute negative is self-defeating, because what you are saying is, I have infinite knowledge, in order to say to you, there is nobody with infinite knowledge. Atheism as a system is self-defeating. Bertrand Russell recognized that, so he did a quick two-step on it. He moved to agnosticism. And agnosticism is very easy to defend. All you got to prove is that you don't know. Now, let me clarify the point. It is foolish to say, I know that you can't know. That is also self-defeating. But there are many honest agnostics who will say, look, I have honestly studied the subject on hand, and I am convinced with the evidences that I have studied and the philosophical issues that I have wrestled with, I don't believe it is really possible to know with certainty if there is a God. Now, that is a different and a respected type of position. I meet many honest agnostics in my travels who will say to me, on the basis of my studies, an honest evaluation of that data on hand, I don't believe it is possible to really affirm the existence of God, and I move along with that type of soft agnosticism. One of my professors of philosophy used to tell this classic story about a fellow who woke up one morning and said to his wife, I believe I am dead. And his wife said, you know, that's a strange sense of humor. It's all right. Just go on to work and bring the paycheck home, type of thing. And sent him on his merry way. But this impression in his mind lingered for far too many hours. Every evening he'd come back and, munching on his goodies, on his lazy boy there, would say, you know, I really think I'm dead. Finally, his wife and his children decided he needed help. If he didn't get help, they would need some help. So they sent him along to a team of doctors and psychiatrists, all of whom were trying to help him without success, till one doctor latched on to this idea to try to establish for him empirically that only living people bleed. And he was trying to deny that. But they brought all kinds of evidence, overhead projectors, charts, and all the data on hand. Only living people bleed, only living people bleed. Finally, this man, after all of the evidence was weighed in, said, all right, I guess I'm going to have to admit to you that only living people bleed. As soon as he said that, one on the med team of doctors there took a pin and plunged it into this man's veins, and the blood came spurting out, and he looked at it and said, great Scott, I guess dead people bleed too. Do you realize that in many ways that man was really dead? Because from all vantage points of evidence, there was nothing you could bring to get him to change his mind. I think it was Richard Weaver who taught English literature at the University of Chicago for years. And I encourage you to read his book, because 40 years ago he wrote a book entitled Ideas Have Consequences. And Alan Bloom, who now teaches philosophy there, 40 years later has written The Closing of the American Mind. And frankly, it is almost based on the text and context of Richard Weaver. And Richard Weaver said this many, many years ago, nothing good can come if the will is wrong. And to give evidence to him who loves not the truth is only to give him more plentiful material for misinterpretation.
That was a clip. That was actually part one of a two-part answer to the question, why I am not an atheist. That was Ravi Zacharias. Dr. Ravi Zacharias, he's scheduled to be here to speak in an event called An Evening with Ravi. Yes. On April 2nd, That's a Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at the University of Hawaii Campus Center Ballroom. It's sponsored by the Wahoo Baptist Network, along with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade for Christ, and other churches and organizations there on campus. You can find out more at obn.com, obn.com, or call my friend Harrison Peters, who's in studio with me. We'll talk a little bit more when we come back. His phone number, though, is 808-341-1527, 341-1527. When we come back, we'll have some closing remarks. You know, Dr. Zacharias, he's had the privilege of addressing the National Prayer Breakfast in seats of government in Ottawa, Canada, England, and speaking at the CIA in Washington, D.C.
CIA.
And he's coming to Hawaii. It's a great time to invite family and friends, especially those who don't know Christ but are searching. Invite them to come. Be there at the event. Stay with us. We'll be back with more and some closing comments.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Yeah, Dr. Ravi Zacharias was born in India in 1946. He immigrated to Canada with his family 20 years later, and while pursuing a career in business management, his interest in theology grew. Well, that's kind of the beginnings of Dr. Zacharias. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm here with my friend Harrison Peters, who has had a significant role in helping to facilitate Dr. Ravi Zacharias coming to Hawaii. It's always interesting to find out how these things all come to be. You know, a little more background about Dr. Zacharias. His interest in theology grew. So from his business management career, he pursued the study of theology during his undergraduate education. And then he went on to get his Master of Divinity degree from Trinity International University in Deerfield, Illinois. Well, the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. That's called TEDS now. there, that with the Evangelical Free Church denomination. And while he's well-versed in the disciplines of comparative religions, cults, and philosophy, he held the chair of evangelism and contemporary thought at Alliance Theological Seminary for 3.5 years. And he's been honored by, the Doctor of Divinity from Houghton College in New York, from Tyndale College and Seminary in Toronto, and the Doctor of Laws from Asbury College in Kentucky. Well, he's traveled, he's spoken at the best universities, the top, most well-known schools. Harrison, you guys arranged it. How did it all come together? You guys are all busy leaders on your steering committee. How did this all come to be?
Well, it actually started from the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. Chairman Morris Takushi took, I believe, 5 years for him to get Ravi to finally come to Hawaii. It was a huge undertaking to get him here. When I heard that he was coming, I just said, oh, gosh, one-time opportunity to hear this man. And I knew his focus and passion was for college students. So although he came for the Hawaii Prayer Group, which is open to everyone, I knew his
How long did you say Morris was trying to arrange it with him?
I believe 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Morris Takushi is very, very persistent.
He is very persistent. Yeah. But yeah, took him, and so he was elated at Friday. He said, I got him. Oh. And so I was audacious enough to say, you think you might be willing to speak something else for a college venue? And going, well, he's told them, at least, that he was only going to be there that one day for the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. So, no, probably not. I said, well, I'm not bashful, as you know, Danny. I'm not bashful. I'm willing to ask anyway. So I got a hold of his organization. They said, well, he's very busy and, you know, yeah, that's part of his heart, but we'll let him know, but, you know, don't call, don't ask. We'll get back to you if he ever, well, 6 months or so went by. And then finally, about 2 weeks ago, his organization said, yes, well, he would agree. I don't know why he chose us, or
we know that the Lord is working, and he used your audacity to ask the question. That's a beautiful thing about you. You're not afraid to ask, and more of us need to be a little bit more audacious, maybe for the purpose of the Lord, for the building of the kingdom of God. And you've set a great example. Well, Ravi Zacharias will be here. An Evening with Ravi, April 2nd, that's a Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at the University of Hawaii Campus Center Ballroom, sponsored by the Wahoo Baptist Network and partnership organizations like InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade for Christ, and other churches and other organizations. Information can be received at obn.com. There's a link there. And, of course, Harrison is gracious enough. Gracious and audacious, right?
Yes.
To make himself available. If you want information, you want to talk to him, get more info, 808-341-1527. Harrison, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
And, of course, to be listening to Dr. Zacharias. The next few days, you're going to hear more inspirational stories of hope and faith. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. Invite someone to listen to this show, 2 p.m., 12 midnight, but it's always downloadable 24/7 at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Go ahead and share it with a friend. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord, always being prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that is in you." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guests, of course, the samples from Ravi Zacharias. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and my friend, Harrison Peters, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.